Look, it's Saturday, March 28th. We're tracking a massive shift in the markets as investors ditch AI hype for old-school oil and dividends. Meanwhile, the Middle East energy crunch is getting real, and the agentic AI model is officially coming for your desktop. Anyway, here's what's actually happening. Look, if you feel like the game is rigged, you aren't just being cynical. According to Senator Chris Murphy, that feeling of systemic corruption is exactly what's driving the current wave of political apathy in the U.S. Murphy is pushing an unrigging agenda, a constitutional amendment to boot corporate money out of politics, a total ban on congressional stock trading, and a hard stop on the revolving door for lobbyists. He's also taking aim at the gamification of American life. Specifically, Murphy is pointing at prediction markets, those platforms where people bet on elections or even the likelihood of a famine. He argues these markets incentivize people to actually profit from human suffering, which honestly is a dark incentive structure when you're rooting for a war because you've got five figures on the line. It sounds like a great way to erode whatever moral foundation we have left. Murphy also linked our loneliness epidemic to addictive algorithms, advocating for a ban on social media for kids under 13. He basically views the current political moment as an existential threat, comparing the opposition to a Star Wars-like resistance, which, okay, a bit cinematic, but his point is that the old ways of practicing politics aren't cutting it when the system feels broken to the people living in it. Speaking of systems under pressure, let's look at the Middle East. The conflict with Iran has evolved into what's being described as a survival imperative for the Islamic Republic. Their strategy isn't to win a traditional war, but to make things so expensive and painful for everyone else that they force a seat at the table for sanctions relief. The biggest casualty here is global energy. We're looking at a near standstill for shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. Iran is leaning heavily on asymmetric warfare, using low-cost drones to punch way above their weight class. Shipping and insurance companies don't just bounce back after someone starts lobbing drones at tankers. They need trust, and trust is currently at zero. Domestically, the regime is using the conflict to tighten its grip, using national security as a convenient blanket to smother social unrest. But the Iranian opposition is divided and doesn't have a viable alternative ready to go. So the regime's ability to repress dissent is likely to stick around, even as its military takes a beating. Back in Washington, Congress is moving to ban those prediction markets Murphy was worried about. The concern is straightforward: insider trading and the fact that these platforms look an awful lot like unlicensed sports betting. Kalshi, one of the big platforms, argues they're just a fairer alternative to sportsbooks. But when 90% of your NFL volume is betting, that's a hard sell to regulators. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has been vocal about this, criticizing MLB's partnership with Polymarket, and she's actually finding some rare common ground with conservatives on the moral backlash front. At the same time, the FCC is moving to ban the import of foreign-made Wi-Fi routers. The logic is that these devices are a cyberattack vector for state-sponsored espionage, specifically from China. The problem? We don't really make routers here. Critics are pointing out that a Made in USA sticker doesn't magically make a protocol secure, and the shift is going to be a massive headache for consumers. It's the classic security versus convenience trade-off, and right now, convenience is losing. While we're talking about things getting more difficult, let's check your monthly bills. Netflix is hiking prices again. The ad-supported plan is going from $7.99 to $8.99, and the standard plan is jumping to $21.99. They say it's to pay for content, but really, they're doing it because they can. Their churn rate, the number of people who actually cancel, is incredibly low. They know you're not going anywhere. And if you're traveling to escape all this, you might notice Clear is killing it right now. Their stock is up 60% in a month. Why? Because the TSA is underfunded and airport security is a disaster. People are literally paying a premium to bypass a government failure. It's a great business model if you can get it, but it's a pretty damning indictment of our public infrastructure. On the demographic front, the map of America is changing. Census data shows big hubs like New York LA and Miami are actually shrinking. A lot of this is being attributed to the Trump-era immigration curbs. Without that influx, the population is shifting toward the South and the Mountain West. Places like Austin and Boise are growing at 4 times the national rate. We're watching a redistribution of the American population in real time. Now, if you look at the markets, there is a massive disconnect between the news and what investors are actually doing. While the talking heads discuss breakthroughs in the Middle East, the bond market is screaming about inflation. The 10-year Treasury yield has become the critical gauge for the presidency. If the bond market gets spooked, the presidency is in trouble. This has led to a defensive pivot. Investors are pulling money out of high-growth AI stocks and dumping it into old economy stocks like ExxonMobil and T-Mobile. They're looking for cash flow and dividends because the world feels too volatile for growth at all costs. The market is now pricing in a significant probability of interest rate hikes by the end of the year, which is a total 180 from the rate cut optimism we had just a few months ago. So while Congress argues about who gets to bet on a famine, the tech world is busy trying to automate your actual job. Here's the latest on the AI front. What's happening in AI right now isn't just about models getting bigger. We are seeing a hard pivot from general-purpose chatting towards specialized agents that can actually execute tasks. Companies like Intercom and Cursor are finding that post-training open-weight models on specific, real-world interaction data actually outperforms the massive frontier models built by the likes of OpenAI or Google. Essentially, experience data is becoming more valuable than the raw internet scrape. It's the difference between hiring a polymath who's never had a job and a specialist who's been doing the exact work you need for 10 years. The specialist usually wins, and they're usually cheaper. But while some are focusing on specialization, others are arguing that our current path, LLMs in general, is going to hit a wall. François Chollet, a prominent researcher at Google DeepMind, is pushing a fundamental challenge to the scaling paradigm. He argues that LLMs won't reach true artificial general intelligence because they lack real reasoning and causal modeling. Chollet is pursuing something called program synthesis. The goal is to create models that are more data efficient and capable of fluid intelligence, the ability to learn a new skill on the fly rather than just regurgitating patterns. He even suggests that the code for true AGI might be remarkably small, perhaps under 10,000 lines. It's a bold swing. While the rest of the industry is building bigger and bigger digital libraries, Chollet is trying to build the actual librarian. As these models get smarter, they are moving from talkers to doers. Anthropic recently released a computer use feature for Claude, which allows the AI to literally control a user's cursor and navigate interfaces just like a human would. Microsoft's Copilot is moving toward agentic orchestration, handling multi-step tasks like market research across OneDrive and Gmail. Here's the thing, this shift is a double-edged sword. It can automate schlep work, the tedious, repetitive tasks that eat up your day. But there's a shitty side to this for the workforce. These agents are becoming very good at replacement-level work. That means entry-level jobs, which have historically been the training grounds for humans to learn their craft, are the most vulnerable. Finally, OpenAI is trying to make this all more seamless by introducing a chatbot library within ChatGPT. The trend is clear. The era of the clever chatbot is ending. We are entering the era of the digital employee. If you're looking for a distraction from the digital takeover, you could always head to the track. But even horse racing is feeling the squeeze of the streaming wars. FanDuel is phasing out FanDuel TV and cutting over 100 jobs, moving away from traditional television in favor of streaming platforms. It's a move that signals a much more fragmented landscape for the sport. Look, this is the modernization trap. Companies cut costs by moving to apps, and in the process, they make the sport even harder for a casual fan to stumble across. It's a shitty situation for the 100 people who lost their jobs. On the track, the road to the Derby is hitting its most critical stretch with the Florida and Arkansas Derbies. At Gulfstream Park, Chief Wallaby is the horse to watch. Meanwhile, at Oaklawn Park, Renegade is the morning line favorite for the Arkansas Derby. Internationally, the focus is on the Dubai World Cup. Forever Young and Magnitude are the names being floated as the top dirt contenders. This weekend is the filter. By Monday, the pretenders will be heading back to the barns, and the betting lines for the Triple Crown are going to look very different. While the horses are running for points, the rest of the sports world is running for the bank. Major League Baseball just closed a deal with Ford that focuses on grassroots development, specifically investing in youth sports and softball. Baseball is playing the long game. By putting money into amateur levels now, they are trying to manufacture brand loyalty before these kids even hit high school. Speaking of life outside the lines, a new organization called the Pro Athlete Community, or PAC, is trying to fix the broke athlete trope. Co-founded by Chip Pawsek, the group is building a network of mentors to help players transition into business while they're still playing. Look, the narrative has always been that athletes go broke because they're bad with money. PAC is reporting that the real issue is a lack of exposure to anything that isn't a playbook. It's about time someone treated these players like the entrepreneurs they actually are. On the global stage, FIFA has officially sold out its global sponsorship packages for the 2026 World Cup, pulling in over $11 billion. But while FIFA is printing money, there is a serious underlying anxiety. Arthur Blank has been vocal about this, reporting that soccer properties in the U.S. have to find ways to make money that don't involve media rights, because the NFL is currently sucking all the oxygen out of the room. Finally, over in the gambling world, the strategy is getting more psychological. During a live broadcast from VSIN, analysts from the Sports Gambling Podcast reported that traditional stats aren't enough anymore. They're looking at bad cop coaching strategies, like what Ben McCollum is doing at Drake University, as the reason for unexpected tournament runs. The takeaway for the betting markets is that we're moving into second-order thinking. It turns out, even in a world dominated by algorithms, a coach being a dick to his players is still a relevant data point. If you're still checking your phone, chances are you're obsessing over your Fantasy Premier League lineup. According to the latest from Fantasy Football Scout, Game Week 32 is being viewed as a pivot point. Managers are currently debating whether to burn a wild card now or hold out for a free hit chip to maximize players from teams with double fixtures. The scout team is leaning toward the wild card, specifically flagging Brighton's Kaoru Mitoma and Pascal Gross as targets. While the scout guys are playing it safe, the current FPL world number one, a guy named Eric, is reporting a much more aggressive strategy. He's planning a massive bench boost in Game Week 33, followed immediately by a free hit in Game Week 34. Eric is a medical student who treats the game like sports analytics. He's sticking with Erling Haaland despite a slight dip in numbers. Honestly, the medical student approach sounds exhausting. It's a reminder that at this stage of the season, FPL isn't really a football game anymore, it's an accounting exercise. Right? So if you're feeling like a vulnerable data point yourself, it might be time to step outside and fix your biology. Getting sunlight in your eyes within 30 to 60 minutes of waking up is now being framed as a biological imperative. According to research, 10 minutes of direct morning light exposure triggers a cortisol spike that regulates alertness and sets a timer for sleep readiness 16 hours later. If you miss this window, that cortisol peak drifts later into the day, which is a physiological marker specifically linked to depression. The catch is you can't do this through a window. Glass filters out the specific wavelengths you need. On the productivity front, Chris Bailey's Intentional reports that the effortless pursuit of goals usually has nothing to do with willpower and everything to do with value alignment. If a goal doesn't tap into your fundamental motivations, your brain triggers a literal aversion to the task. Basically, if you're procrastinating, it might not be because you're lazy. It might be because the goal is a bad fit for who you actually are. Finally, we have to talk about a growing safety crisis on our roads, older drivers. Americans are driving longer than ever, but there is no national standard for when someone is too old to be behind the wheel. The data is pretty clear. While crash rates for people in their 70s are down, the rates for those 80 and over are climbing. In most cases, the government isn't the one taking the keys away. It's the adult children. It's an emotionally brutal transition because losing your license means losing your identity. We're leaving families to navigate these high-stakes decisions in a vacuum. It's a shitty situation for everyone involved. Before you go, let's hit a few other things that crossed my desk this morning. First, the manosphere is still out here doing what it does best, exploiting lonely young men for a quick buck. Instead of actually helping guys find purpose, influencers are just pivoting them into supplement grifts and crypto courses. It's basically a pyramid scheme for self-worth. In California, Democrats are pushing wealth taxes that look less like a budget fix and more like a tactical move to neutralize political rivals. It's a soft secession vibe, basically telling the tech elite they can either pay up or take their ball and go to Texas. Meanwhile, the venture capital world is staring down what looks like a total catastrophe. There's been so much cheap cash flooded into the system that entry prices for startups are completely detached from reality. It turns out growth at all costs is a shitty business model when the bill finally comes due. Finally, the Squamish Nation is showing everyone how to actually get housing built. By using their sovereign land in Vancouver to bypass the city's nightmare zoning laws, they're putting up a massive forest of skyscrapers. It's a pretty elegant middle finger to the NIMBYs. So, go get some sunlight in your eyes and try not to get grifted by a crypto bro today. I'm back on Monday.